Welcome back, guys, to Section 408, and today we are going to be talking about something that was absolutely shocking, and that is Penn State coming out to the West Coast and losing a shocker to UCLA last weekend. This is one of the more crazy results I've seen in a long time. We're going to get into it, but before we talk about the specifics of this game, what were your initial thoughts about this loss?
As soon as this happened, I was thinking, wow, James Franklin might be on the hot seat, especially after losing to Oregon next week or previous week. And then going to Los Angeles to lose to an 0-4 UCLA team, that definitely deserves a spot on the hot seat, if you ask me. So that was my first initial thought. But we'll get more into it, I'm sure, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, and then I think it's also the context behind it, right? So Penn State, obviously, they lost to Oregon the week before, but it was a really close game. It was an overtime. Disappointing, but we all still thought they were going to be a for sure playoff team. But the context is even worse because, number one, UCLA had no head coach, no offensive coordinator from the start of the year, no defensive coordinator from the start of the year, and not to mention, they said they had 2 days to implement the game plan before the game, and they still hung 42 on Penn State. That is absolutely insane to me. Not to mention, UCLA, they had lost to UNLV, and they also did not even lead a game this entire season. They had not even led at any point in this season. And all of a sudden, they didn't even trail against Penn State. They didn't trail the entire game. Absolute embarrassment for Penn State, which leads us into the question of the day.
Just to add one more insult to injury, I saw an interview from the UCLA's interim head coach, and they said that he was practicing signals to the quarterback during the game because he had never used the headset before, so he didn't know when it stopped, what buttons to hit. So that just adds more salt to the wound. But
so to your point, not only that, I was going to mention, he was learning how to use the headset, but not only that, if you think about it, Penn State's entire team and their roster has been together for years, whereas UCLA just pieced this together. So getting back to it, let me ask you this. Everything we just talked about, it seemed like after the Oregon loss, the fans were really upset and they wanted him fired. But I think people kind of who were not around Penn State kind of thought like, you know, he's going to be fine. They're going to be in the playoffs. But after this loss, from everything I've seen, it seems like, yeah, he actually is on the hot seat legitimately. So let me ask you this. Is that fair for James Franklin to be on the hot seat?
Yes, 100%. I feel like there are better fits for Penn State. I know this hasn't just been like this year or last year. This has kind of been a recurring thing. I'm not too sure when he got hired exactly. But it seems like this happens year after year. I feel like he's been there for at least 10 years, and like they haven't been able to accomplish really anything. Well, I don't want to say anything, but like not to like their level or to their standards, especially with like being one of the best teams of like this last decade or so. They're always at the top. They just can't seem to get over the hump and beat the very good teams, the top of the top teams, to get into the playoff or to win the playoff. Last year, they had a really good opportunity. They just let it fall through their hands. So I feel like at what point does this get kind of like enough? Like enough is enough, you know? This has happened for so long and it just keeps stacking. And at what point are you just going to be like, okay, like this guy was great. He allowed us to do so much, but we have to move on. And I feel like being Penn State and the recruits they get and just being Penn State, they should be able to find a quality head coach that can come in and hopefully take them to the promised land.
One of the other podcasts I follow and some people on Twitter were saying that they could possibly target Matt Rhule because he went to Penn State, if you didn't know that. But I feel like Matt Rhule hasn't won enough at Nebraska for them to target him just yet. What do you think about that?
Yeah, one, I'd be pretty sad if he went to Penn State as a fan. But two, like you said, he hasn't accomplished enough. I feel like they would probably go more along the route of maybe Dabo Swinney. I feel like that's more realistic with how Clemson's going right now, but I don't think Matt Rhule is at the top of the list, especially, like you just said, he hasn't won enough big games to be in that position.
Yeah, but I do worry, though, like if they go 9-3 or next year, like 10 wins, I think that might be enough for them to pursue him. But we'll talk about Nebraska here in a minute. Getting back to James Franklin. So he's 104-43 at Penn State. He makes $10 million a year. So the thing about it is, if you look at his resume, he's won a Big Ten championship, right? But when I was looking at his record, I mean, he has a bunch of double-digit win seasons, although they can't beat Ohio State. I don't think they've beaten them since 2016. They can't really beat Michigan very often. So there's a clear gap between what he's doing and like the top programs. And then the last thing I'm going to say about James Franklin, I don't think they should fire him because like the odds of them replacing him with someone who's better are very, very low. Not to mention, like, we're Nebraska fans. We know what it looks like when you fire a guy who wins 9-10 wins every year. More than likely, you're not going to be able to replace him, right?
Yeah.
And Georgia did it because I don't know if you remember, like, 10, 15 years ago before Kirby was there, they were, like, 8-9 wins. I forget the coach's name, but they were always, like, 8-9 wins for a long time. They fired him. Kirby comes in, and they take that huge leap. So Penn State's probably saying to themselves, like, yeah, we can do the Georgia model. But the odds are they're going to go the Nebraska route. Or we saw recently Wisconsin, always dominating 9-10 wins. They fire their coach because they thought they could do better. And now look at them. So the odds of them replacing Franklin with anybody else that can do a lot better are very, very low. All right, and then moving on to the next thing. Texas got upset by Florida at the Swamp this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, both of us hate Texas. The thing about it is people are kind of piling on them, piling on Arch. And I actually don't think this is as devastating as a loss as people are making it out to be. I don't think Arch is necessarily a bust because he played pretty well in this game. But the bigger picture this season, do you think Texas is going to be out of the playoff after this loss?
100%. I give you the loss versus Ohio State quality loss. Right now they're ranked first. They'll probably be in the playoff and maybe in the championship when it's all said and done. And they are still the reigning college football champs. So you can't really knock them for that. Florida, on the other hand, Florida was supposed to be a really good team that had expectations going into the year. And they still are a very good team, but those expectations have kind of gone out the window. And it's just like, yeah, they're an okay team. Decent enough team, make a bowl game, maybe 8 wins, but not like a great team. And so if you lose 2 games, it's really hard. I think the only way Texas probably makes the college football playoff is if they win out versus everyone, literally everyone on their schedule. I know they go play against Oklahoma this upcoming weekend against 6 Oklahoma. If they lose that, it's over. It's cooked. It's done. Kentucky, they should beat, but you never know. It's the SEC. Mississippi State, they should beat. Never know. It's the SEC. Vanderbilt's going to be tough. I don't know. I can't see them as of now picking them to win. Georgia's probably a loss. Arkansas should be a win. And Texas A&M. So right now, in terms of like for sure wins, I'm only seeing like, I'll just say Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. And then like 50-50 or games anyone can win. I would say maybe just Vanderbilt. And then the other games where I think they are going to lose and are not going to be favored are Oklahoma, Georgia, and Texas A&M. So chances of them making, especially losing this against Florida, chances of them making are very slim unless they went out. And that's why you cannot lose to teams like that, because your room for error now is very slim, if any. So Texas will not be in the college football playoff this year unless they went out.
Yeah, I think the odds of them going 8-4 are much more likely than them winning out, or even 7-5. But the thing about it is, if they go 9-3, I think, you know, maybe it's a coin flip to get in, because there were a couple 9-3 teams that were close. But this brings me to like the bigger issue, right? So this Florida team that they just lost to, actually, I think is pretty legit. They have talented players. Obviously, their season is over. But the problem is, when you have all these teams in the SEC, anybody can beat you. It used to be like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there were maybe three really good teams, five decent teams, and then the rest were not very good. But now there's talent everywhere in the SEC because we've added so many teams, right? So this is what happens when you consolidate these teams into one conference. Like, if this was the SEC of 2010, Florida might be like a top four or five team in the conference. But now, because Texas and Oklahoma joined, there's these teams everywhere, not to mention, you know, Missouri and Texas A&M. So the problem is, unfortunately, it's become like the NFL, and you cannot afford to slip up against Florida, even though they're talented, even though I think Arch is still a legit quarterback. So I think Texas's playoff hopes are done this year, but I still like them overall as a program with Sark. And then lastly, talking about our...
Can I just add one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a... We should abolish the preseason rankings. Not just Texas, but Texas is ranked first going into the season, and now they are unranked. Same with Penn State. They were ranked like second or something like that, unranked. And so I think the NCAA kind of just guesses, and like, it's a good guess based off of how talented teams are and who they sign and all that stuff. But just shows you that preseason rankings are pretty useless. And so, along with Arch Manning being the Heisman favorite and stuff, you never really know. And so I don't think it's all Arch's fault. And I don't think it's all Texas' fault, but we need to do away with the preseason top 25 rankings.
Absolutely. And I always see, like, in the preseason, SEC fans like, oh, look how many ranked teams we have. And then by the time all the bowl games are done, it's pretty even between them and the Big Ten, at least recently.
Exactly.
And then moving on to our Nebraska Cornhuskers, they got a interesting win against Michigan State this past week. It was kind of an ugly game, but they won it, and that's we will take it. There were a lot of bright spots. First, what were your initial thoughts about the game? Anything just off the top of your head?
Sloppy game, good and bad, more bad than good, but sloppy game overall.
Yeah, and here's my thing, is my overall takeaway from it is, I was listening to another podcast, and they made a good point. They're like, at this point in the season, like, we know what Nebraska is. They're not going to all of a sudden start blowing people out. They're not going to all of a sudden start being a bad team. Like, they're kind of a second-tier Big Ten team. And so we're going to be in a lot of these games the rest of the year where we can win every single one, but we're also probably going to lose a couple more. And I'm happy, though, because we're finally starting to see Nebraska beat these teams like Michigan State. They're a solid team. They had a winning record. They're 3-2 now, but they're finally starting to beat these teams in the second tier of the Big Ten that, under maybe the Frost era, they were not able to beat very often. And not only that, but they're starting to have an identity. Michigan State had beaten them, I think, two or three straight times before that, and they finally kind of broke that curse. Last year, Wisconsin beat them 12 straight times. They beat them. I know Wisconsin obviously isn't as good as they used to be, but Nebraska's starting, it seems like they're kind of ascending as a program. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like it's still early in the season, but kind of like you said, there were teams like the Michigan States and the Illinois. Not Illinois this year, Indiana this year. Those are completely different teams from like 3-4 seasons ago. But those Illinois and Indiana teams, what you probably think of as Illinois and Indiana teams and Michigan States and Iowa's, they could never be. I feel like a lot of times they were in the game, but they would always do something to lose the game last second and lose the game overall. And so that was never a good thing. But I feel kind of like, yeah, I'm going into these games now thinking like, yeah, we should win this game. We have a better team overall. We do have an identity. We have a run game. We have a quarterback that's pretty good when he doesn't turn over the ball. Defense is good enough. I think it just comes down to playing good 60 minutes of football, not like Michigan State, because there were a lot of sloppy plays. I think Raiola trying to do a little too much and taking sacks and just bad plays. I feel like sometimes, like the run game, I feel like it couldn't get going for a little bit, and if it did get going, it was like a 50-yard run. So I think just cleaning the little things up and just putting together a game from start to finish. Not saying it has to be clean every play, but like I would just like it a little bit more clean than how they played this past weekend. And luckily, I got the win, because a few years ago, last year or 2 years ago or something like that, they probably don't win this game. And so I think just learning, cleaning up the little things, and getting the W, which is ultimately the most important thing.
To your point, like both in the Michigan game, which they lost, of course, and in the Michigan State game, like they got down and they battled back, which I feel like in years past, yes, they might have just, yes, gotten blown out. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, that's a great point. I know Michigan was like 2 weeks ago, but yeah, they came back. I will say I had more confidence this year in them being able to come back and win this game than I have had in a long time. So I think that says a lot about this year's team.
Yeah, and like I said, it's gotten to the point where, like, against these, you know, average Big Ten teams, where it's like if Nebraska plays well, they should win the game. And then the last question for you for this one, do you still think they can get to 9-3 this year? I think 8-4, I would bet, is more likely, which would be a good record. I'd be happy. It means they've progressed. Do you still think they can get to 9-3, which we both predicted?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, talking about the schedule, I have picked the perfect schedule to this point. I picked Nebraska to win every game except Michigan. So far, we're on track. The only bad thing about the schedule I'm looking at is UCLA. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, I still think they can go 9-3. Penn State's not as good as they are. USC is going to be tough. They're really good this year. Am I missing any other good teams? Iowa's always going to be tough.
Minnesota might be tricky.
Yeah, Minnesota, Maryland. I mean, yeah, kind of, there's no team that's like on their schedule that I should say that they don't have a chance against, especially now that Penn State has kind of come down to earth. They're all games are winnable. I mean, they could win out for all we know and make the college football playoff, which is a real thing. But I don't expect them to. They'll probably slip up against maybe USC. But I still think they can go 9-3. I don't see a reason why they can't anymore. And I know I'm saying this a lot, but especially after Penn State lost and looking at how they are now, all the games on the schedule are winnable. It's just a matter of how clean of football they play, and they have the talent to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Even though I would probably bet more on 8-4, just because, yeah, like any random team this season, the rest of the season can get them. But we'll see what happens. And if you listen to this, we appreciate you. We would kindly ask if you could give us a follow, and we will be back with more content very soon.